Hi, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we have the great fortune of being joined by Tomas Perić, a teacher of physical education and sport at Charles University in Prague, Czech Republic, where he focuses on children's sport development and specifically on children's ice hockey development. Dr. Perić is a member of the coaching board of the Czech Ice Hockey Federation and is an international instructor for the International Ice Hockey Federation's Learn to Play program. He has also authored 10 books on children's sport training as well as ice hockey training. And we are also joined today by Kevin McLaughlin, Senior Director of Hockey Development for USA Hockey. Dr. Perić, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for your speak.
Thank you. And Kevin, thanks for, as always, for your support and joining us today and for bringing Tomas, as he asked me to call him, Tomas to USA Hockey and to Colorado Springs.
Well, thanks, Harry. Thanks for doing this. And it's a great opportunity to have Tomas with us and a few days in the United States and helping assist our club, our model clubs and our youth hockey program here in Colorado Springs.
Great. Well, Tomas, to start with, what brings you here to USA Hockey and to the United States for this visit?
I think that one of the most important part of my stay here, it means that USA is a big country with very big tradition of hockey, and I think that we know each other with Kevin for many and many years, and I see that we have very similar way of thinking about youth hockey, and it's for me very big pleasure to go here and to see how we can share some information about coaching of youth hockey, and I think that's a very similar to find the same ideas in Czech and in US about coaching of small kids and to show them how the ice hockey is nice. And of course, I see that USA Hockey have been working very hard for, let's say, 10 years on the hockey development. They produce a lot of fantastic book, fantastic materials. And I think that it's useful to go here and to see how you can do your own way to develop kids in hockey. Because we have, of course, every big hockey country like Russia, Sweden, they have their own work, their own way how to develop player, and I think that today's world is more about sharing of information that to keep the information as a secret. And from this reason, I would like to be here and to see how USA Hockey work. And on the other side, I would like to give you some my ideas about kids hockey.
That's fantastic. And have you been to the United States before, or is this your first visit?
Yes, I was. I was here, and let's say 15 years ago for holiday, and I think 2 years ago, USA Hockey invited me to have a lecture in the coaching symposium in Chicago.
Oh, great, great. Well, Kevin, what are the benefits to bringing somebody with Tomas's background and his coaching credentials? What are the benefits to USA Hockey and to the United States to bring somebody like him here?
Well, I think it's an opportunity, like Tomas said, is to share ideas. Ken Martell and I were lucky enough to go to Czech Republic in November. We spent a week with Tomas going around and visiting different youth clubs, observing them. It's a sharing of ideas. We're not trying to necessarily copy the way they do things in Czech. We're trying to learn best practices from all the different leading hockey countries in the world and then customize it to fit our culture, customize it to fit our hockey environment so that we can be better than we have been. You know, we don't think that we're going to become a small Czech Republic or we're going to be exactly like Sweden or Finland, but it's an opportunity to learn from leading experts in the world and then get their impression or their feedback on the direction that we are trying to go with our American development model, and from true professionals that have done this for several years and that have proven results, so that we can tweak our materials or our development model to be the best it can possibly be for the benefit of our local youth hockey associations, our local youth coaches, and our local players, so they enjoy the game more and they become the best players they can be. So it's an opportunity to share ideas and learn from each other.
Great, great. So am I correct, Thomas, in that you are a professor of ice hockey?
Yes, I'm not exactly ice hockey professor because we don't have, let's say, ice hockey professor, but I am a professor on the university, and my main specialization is sport training as a general. And my, let's say, my hobby, it's ice hockey, and I am participating in ice hockey specialization in our university, and I have been working for 15 years for Czech hockey coaching committee, and in this case I am helping with teaching of the students and teaching of the coaches.
I would think if we had ice hockey as a class in American colleges, we'd have more people signing up and going to college here.
What might be interesting, Harry, is to have Tomas explain a little bit about the coaching education requirements in the Czech Federation and how they require their highest level coaches to mm-hmm. go through the college education system and this college mm-hmm. school system to become highly trained coaches specializing in understanding youth development, but also in athletic development in addition to the hockey component mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. So how long do you have to go to the university to become as proficient as you have become in learning about ice hockey?
Well, maybe I can explain a little bit the system of our school. We have in our country, we have, let's say, two levels of education. One is to be a professional coach on one side, and one is to be a professional teacher. And you can get your coaching license or on one side on university, on the other side as a, we can call it as a long life education. And I start with my career in age of 18 when I came to the university or college, because we don't have in Czech colleges, we have only universities like this system. And I studied for 5 years physical education and coaching. Then I did my first PhD for kids practicing. The topic was the individualization and time utilization, how to develop it. And then I did my second PhD, and it was about selection of a talent. And now I'm working on university, let's say 20 years, and I work all the time on these topics and generally on the kids development of sport development, but mainly for the ice hockey.
That leads to my next question, which is, can you talk a little bit about what youth hockey is like in the Czech Republic? And I'll start with, I know that's a big topic, so coaching, like in the United States, many times the coach is just a dad or a volunteer who wants to just get involved and be around his mm-hmm. son or his daughter. Is that how coaches in youth hockey are in the Czech Republic, or are they paid, trained professionals?
Yes, they are two different group of coaches. Of course, on one side, they are parents, and on the other side, they are, we can call it as a professional coaches. They are, for example, the former players which would like to be a future coaches, and they starting with a small kids, and they grow up with these kids and with their career, and maybe after, let's say, 5-10 years, they will start with the junior level and with a senior level. But it's a very common that we have a club, and the club has two different group of youth hockey player. We can call it as under 15 and junior level, means under 20. And they are, these two groups are supported by professional coaches. We can call it as a youth coaches and as a academy coaches or junior professional coaches. And they are full time employer. We try to have in Czech Republic to have some group of coaches for, let's say, age of 10 till 15. In this case, there are two or three coaches for this age, and mainly they are full-time employer. And then we have three age categories in junior age, and they are mainly full-time employer as well. In this case, in the club, it's, let's say, 5, 6, 7 full-time employer. And of course, some of them are a former player, some of them are the fathers which did their own coaching license, mm-hmm. and now they change their life to be, I don't know, worker or teacher, and they start to be, let's say, profi coaches.
Oh, professional coach.
Professional
coaches. Wow, that's great. Talking about youth hockey in the Czech Republic, how many times a week would a player get on the ice for practices, and how many times a week would they play games?
At which age?
At what and at what
age? Yes, yes. I think that there is no general rule, but they are very similar. Of course, we can see very rich clubs. They could be on ice maybe every day, and on the other side, very poor clubs. They can practice, let's say, twice a week, but it's not so common like this. Normally, we can say that if we are starting in age of 6, 7, 8, they practice twice or thrice a week, and they play, let's say, one competition, but not competition. These small kids are playing tournaments, let's say one tournament in a week, but it's not as a rule. Mm-hmm. Normally they play, let's say, 20, 25 tournaments in a season, in the annual. And let's say 9, 10 years old boy, they are practice 3 times a week, and they are practicing for under 10, they are playing full ice. We can say every weekend they have a game. Let's say under 13, 14, they are practicing on ice 4 times a week, and they have every weekend, they have a game, a competition, and sometimes twice a week they have a competition. In each age category, we try to have minimally once a week of ice practice, but this is not like a fitness or conditioning, it's more focused on, let's say, multi-side development of the player, versatility, coordination, and so on, as a gymnastic, agility, drill, and so on.
How young do kids start playing ice hockey in the Czech Republic?
Like, youngest age group is 6 and under. But normally the kids are starting in age of 5. But the youngest, let's say, serious age group is 6 and under.
From what you've seen in your time and in your studies of how what's done in the United States, what are some of the biggest differences that you see between the way youth hockey is in the United States with how it is in the Czech Republic?
I have a lot of information from Kevin, because I see here only, I have seen here only, let's say, 2 or 3 practices, and they were done by IHF, US hockey staff, and they were very similar like we did. But if I'm able to understand the difference, first difference is that it's not so common to use station-based practice. In Czech, it's really very common, and only few of practices we can see, or which are in the normal practice, are full ice exercises. And here, I think it's not so common to use station-based practice. And the second difference, I think, could be that US hockey don't use so much dry land practice as we. And I think in the general way, for general, let's say, skills and abilities development. Because we are using, it's very normal that through the season we are playing, we have minimally once a week dryland practice in a gym for gymnastic, for coordination, and in the time of, let's say, preparatory period, it means April, May, June, we are practicing this kind of practice, let's say, 3-4 times a week, and it's focused mainly in age of, let's say, 10 and under, it's mainly focused on coordination and agility and balance and so on. US hockey call it ABC, yep. Agility, balance, coordination, and we are using as a normal tool, as a very often part.
Being involved with youth hockey here in Colorado Springs, and having seen many of, you know, Kevin's practices and some of the things that are done through the local association as an American development model association, I guess I'd ask Kevin, is this adding all of these station-based practices and adding the dry land training, is this a direct result from influence that you've seen or experienced for European clubs, whether it's the Czech Republic or other places?
Yeah, I think in Europe it's very commonplace, and it's a lot of it is a result of trying to maximize ice utilization. You know, Tomas has, and his students have done a lot of research and collected a lot of data, and maybe it's a good question for him to tell you what the norms were in his collection of data in seeing a typical traditional practice that we commonly see in our youth hockey culture over here. And I think what our USA Hockey staff has tried to do is change that culture to get the most activity, most repetitions out of a one-hour practice, because we are limited in our ice time that we get and our kids get. So we've taken, you know, some of the things we've learned and watching the several European countries that have probably 10% of the youth player pool that we have, that we struggle to compete with on the international stage, to say, what are they doing in their youth hockey culture to create such talented players? And a lot of it, you know, reading the research of a lot of countries, in addition to Tomas's research, is it's basically they get more work and more production out of a 60-minute hour with their players than what we traditionally do. And I think by getting more out of a 60-minute hour, and, you know, the best way to do that is through station-based practices, so that the kids are moving more, they're touching the puck more, they're shooting the puck more, they're skating more. And so, you know, in a maybe one 60-minute hour, if we can double the amount of work time, double the repetition, then, you know, we can take better advantage of the practice ice that we do have.
In your research and what you know about where we are with our American development model, would you say that our practices are closer, looking a lot more like a European practice or a Czech practice?
If I saw the practices like this, it mean in the ADM model practices, right, they are quite similar. Maybe we have a little bit more, let's say, activities inside the station, but it's maybe a question if it's good or not. But I think that the general frame is the same, very similar, the same.
USA Hockey started the American Development Model, I believe, back in like 2009. From what you've seen of this of the program so far, and maybe from conversations you've had with colleagues, whether they are in the Czech Republic or the IIHF, what is the general consensus of how USA Hockey is proceeding with the American Development Model, and how that will help American hockey in the future?
I think there is the situation, as Kevin said, that let's imagine that we have maybe 50,000 kids which are playing hockey, and on the other side maybe this area around the Colorado Springs has quite similar number of players. But if we can compare the international level, we are equal. In this case, there could be some result why we are equal with, let's say, 10 times less more player like US. And I think that this is, in my opinion, this is mainly the system how to practice. Because in Czech Republic, it's a very long tradition of very high educated coaches with a lot of experience and so on. And I think this way of the American development model, it's now on the same level like, let's say, the best model all around the world. And in this case, I think that there is the benefit why the ADM model can bring a much more successful for the USA hockey on one side, and on the other side can bring much more kids to the sport. Doesn't matter if it's hockey or American football, but to bring kids to the sport, to be active, to enjoy the physical activity and so on.
What is one of the big changes that we've made is really moving toward cross ice hockey for the youngest age players. And I wanted to get some of your thoughts about what are the benefits to having your younger kids playing cross ice hockey.
It's a very nice question. I will answer it in a little bit way, and then I will come back to the hockey. When I was young, my mother wants to play violin. And he bought me an 16 violin like size. It was very small, like 20 centimeters. And if you imagine that small kid in age of 6 will play the normal size violin, he has no chance to keep it because it's too small for him. And this is the answer why the cross size is better than full size, because it's size appropriate for the kids. Let's imagine that normal big man is able to run across the ice, let's say for 6-7 seconds, but small kids is running for 20 seconds, maybe more. In this case, is the same like if normal big, normal size adult man is playing in the soccer field. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's normal to play ice hockey on soccer field? Because there will be the same. Of course, this is only size of the surface. On the other side is that if you see small kids, that there is one guy who is very good, skillful, very good in the play hockey, and he plays. And the other are watching. They are normal or observer or spectators. Mm-hmm. And they don't enjoy the hockey. They don't enjoy the situation. Because the surface is so big that he's running everywhere and they try to catch him. But if you see the cross ice, there is small space. All the situations are very close and he cannot run as he wants. And the kids are very close. And number three is that you have much more higher possibilities to touch the puck, to do a skating, to do the pivot, to do a turns, than in big surface. Because it's so big, you will skate straight ahead and there is no problem. But the cross size is so small, it's size appropriate, that you have to do it. You don't have another chance. And of course, it brings much more possibilities to score, much more possibilities to pass, much more possibilities to do deeks and so on.
I would imagine also that a big benefit is the fact that you can have more kids,
of course,
on the ice participating at the
same
time.
Yes, of course.
And in the Czech Republic, do you use a lot of small cross ice hockey at the youngest ages?
Yes, and there is a rule that kids under 9, they must play cross ice hockey. There is no chance to play full ice. And kids under 10, they have first half of season cross ice and the second half of the season full ice hockey.
The parents are okay with that? Did it take some time to get them used to that kind of a...
Czech Hockey Federation started to play cross-ice hockey, I think, 12, 13 years ago. And there was only like an option. If you can play it. And a lot of people say, no, this is not hockey and we would like to play normal hockey. No, this baby hockey. But now, after 13 years, it's normal, and no one in Czech hockey, only maybe some, I don't want to say stupid, yes, but mm-hmm. no one will say that, no, kids under 6, they must play full ice hockey, because now it's normal, it's a, let's say, mandatory, mm-hmm. yes, and everyone accepted, and it's normal.
Well, Kevin, let me just your thoughts on this. You know, having been all around the world with IIHF development and having been to the Czech Republic and being, you know, spearheading the efforts we have in the United States, any idea how long you think it's going to take to kind of get to the point of where the Czechs are in terms of that mindset is pretty much commonplace?
I think we're moving there very rapidly. I heard a number the other day that 73% of our 8 and unders are already playing cross ice hockey. I think as soon as the 7 and 8 year olds that are currently playing mite hockey have moved and graduated from maybe some of the full ice hockey that they're playing right now, I think parents are going to see it. I think they're going to see their kid experience more puck touches, more quote unquote age appropriate real hockey for their kids. They're going to see their kids score more goals. They're going to see their goalies make more saves. And I think it's going to become very much the norm within 2 or 3 years.
Tomas, I wanted to ask you also about, you talked about off-ice training and some of your dry land training, which is more things as gymnastics, agility, balance, coordination. What are your thoughts about children playing other sports, whether it would be soccer, maybe, or tennis, or in the United States, baseball, or so not just playing hockey all year round?
I should say that in culture of Czech Republic, it's not so common that kids are playing in the winter ice hockey and in the summer, let's say, soccer or tennis. But for example, Sweden, Finland, and so it's very common for them. In my country, it's that if you play hockey, you will do hockey for a whole year. On the other side, I think that doesn't matter if you in the summer play soccer or hockey or tennis. It's very important to be active and to have multi-site development, versatile development. Of course, I don't want to see if, for example, my players are playing only soccer in the summer. If they play only soccer, there is not multi-site development. It's one side again. In the winter is hockey, and in the summer it's a soccer. If they will play, let's say, soccer, tennis, maybe baseball, will be fantastic, and let's go it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. But I think that the main question is to first compensate one side activity, and the hockey, it's really one side activity. It's very difficult kind of sport if you think that it's a skating, it's a special movement, and the other side to stick all the time. If you play with a stick, you are on one side, on your side is playing, and this could be important to compensate in the, let's say, off ice season time.
Right. So it's important whether somebody's playing another sport. It's important that they're working on other things that will help them with their athleticism.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit away from skill development. I just wanted to ask you, in 1980, the victory by the U.S. Olympic team, we call the Miracle on Ice, helped spur the growth of hockey in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Czechs' victory at the 1998 Nagano Olympics, which was the first Olympics where we used professional players, how has that helped the growth of hockey in your country?
First, it was, I think, big celebration of hockey in Czech, and maybe big celebration of sport in Czech, because you don't imagine how people will feel it or how people receive it. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that we have full squares of people on Prague, on the main square was 200,000 people see the last game, the final game against Russia. And next day, all kids would like to play hockey. I was coach in this time, a very small local club, and normally we have, let's say, 20 kids in the age group, and now we had 300 kids in age group. And second very interesting part that the shops with the skates, they have
prizes or
no they sell as many skates as possible.
Oh wow.
Yes, really it was absolutely fantastic. And there is a second part of this story, and this is that we won at the end of 90s for world championships. Then in the early 2000, we won twice again. We were two times under 20 junior world championship. But this successful maybe bring a little bit different situation in the Czech Hockey Federation, because all people start to, I don't want to say, or I'm not sure how to say it, start to sleep a little bit on the success.
Uh-huh.
And they said, okay, should we change our system because we are the best all around the world? We are Olympic gold medal, 6-time world championship, 2 times under 20 world championship. And there, it creates something like, I would like to say, get in theory development of hockey. And now we have a little bit trouble with the youth category, let's say junior level, under 18, under 20. And maybe it's not the reason of this winning, but we must thinking that could be a part of this. On one side, absolutely beneficial, fantastic impression for hockey and for a sport in Czech Republic, and on the other side, maybe was in the end was not so good for development of Czech hockey.
I guess because I guess you always want to continue to strive to get better and better and better.
Yes,
it's do we have something similar here in the United States with
baseball? Maybe
yeah,
the way we were, and I think we suffered our consequences of thinking maybe we were, you know, the best in the world, and nobody was on our same plane. Maybe we saw the same. We've seen the same with basketball. Other countries have caught up with us pretty rapidly.
Well, I wanted to ask you because you mentioned not only the great Czech national teams at so many different levels, and also the players who have come over and made their mark in the National Hockey League. Obviously, Jaromír Jágr comes to mind right off the top of your head. I wanted to get some of your thoughts, if you have any experience dealing with women's ice hockey in the Czech Republic. We are very proud of the support that USA Hockey gives to girls ice hockey, and it seems like the United States and Canada are always battling for the gold medal in every competition. Mm-hmm. What is going on with women's ice hockey in the Czech Republic, and do you see a day when other countries, whether it's the Czech Republic or other European countries, are competitive with North American women's teams?
Women's hockey in Czech is in very difficult situation. There is no problem with Czech Federation. Czech Federation support as much as possible women's hockey. But the problem is that we have a lack of ice arenas. And on ice arenas, there is a very tough schedule for the ice. From early morning till every evening is very tough schedule, and there is no 1 minute for the ice. And now there is another, let's say, clubs and other teams would like to get this ice. And let's say 15 years ago, we start to practice serious women's hockey. And there was a big fight between, let's say, the tradition club and the new women's or girls' hockey clubs. From the beginning was not so easy for the women because they practice, let's say, from 6 in the morning or maybe at 11 in the evening. And it was really very tough if you imagine, let's say, 12, 13 years girl to go on the practice like this. Now the situation goes a little bit different because the Czech Hockey Federation did a rule that the kids can play with the boys, and in this case or in these times the girls starting normal with boys and they can play with them in age of 6, 7, 10 and so on, and they can play as long as they want. But normal situation is that, let's say, in age of 13, 14, the gaps start to be bigger between boys and girls. And there are only few girls which are playing with boys in age of, let's say, 16, 17. Really, only few. In this case, or in this situation, they start to have, in age of 13, 14, their own teams, the girls' team. But they have very good background with a let's say skating, passing, because they play normal games with the boys. They have normal experience, normal teaching with the boys. And from I think 3-4 years ago, they start to be successful in the international level. Maybe not so successful like the men teams are, but now they are playing under 18 pool A, and they start to be like men's level, international level.
Right. So you see it getting better in the future?
Yes, sure.
Well, that's great. Well, Tomas, I'd like to thank you and Kevin for, you know, taking the time for talking today, and it's great to have you here in the United States, and for you to share some of your thoughts and experiences with us and with USA Hockey.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Eric.